I know who Jesus is. Amen. Thank you for coming tonight. Thank you for watching on live stream tonight. By the way, you're amongst folks that love you. Every one of you. And I know, like what Brother Jerry says, we can say that, but listen, I said one time, and I believe it's the truth, if you put your name out on the call system that you need help, it'll look like an Amish barn raising. There'll be so many people show up. I mean, I love this church. I love the Lord. And by the way, it's the Lord that gives people a love and a desire to help one another and to live for Him. And like I said, I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Amen. Amen. Let's pray before we start. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we sure do love You and thank You, praise You tonight. Lord, You know my frame. You know my weakness. You know how sorry I am and just how weak I am standing here tonight. God, but for Your Holy Spirit, I cannot do anything. God, I pray tonight that You would help me just one more time to be a help and encouragement, to just open the good Word of God and share it with these folks and try to explain just a little bit, just to bolster their faith, to encourage their faith, that we might make another step, another day. Yeah. Yeah. Lord, I know without a shadow of a doubt that You're coming soon. And Lord, I'm looking for You. Lord, even so, come quickly. God, we thank You, praise You. We pray for our country. We pray for our leaders. We pray for Israel. God, we pray that You would have Your way in our lives. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. For the last 4 weeks, we've been talking about who the Holy Spirit is and how we treat Him and His personality and all these kind of things. But tonight we want to talk about how the Spirit works in our life, or how He treats us, or what He does for us. And you know, the Spirit does work in our lives. The first way that He works in our lives is through redemption. Redemption. Before salvation, we were dead. We were just dead. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "And you He hath quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now, the Holy Spirit, I want to keep in mind two words tonight, because we're going to talk about these a lot, about life and light. And our theme this year is something about being fully alive in 2025. And we can't live. We can't live without the Spirit. If we're not saved and have the Spirit of God inside of us, we're dead in your trespasses and sins. And the only light that you're going to get is be you saved.
Right.
That's it. So let's just start there. If you're not saved, if you do not know Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, and pardon and forgiveness of your sins, you're lost.
Yes.
And you need saved.
Yes.
What you say, how do I get saved? Admit that Christ is right and you're wrong, that you're a sinner and He's the Savior and you need Him to save you from your sins. And you know what He'll do? He'll save you.
Yes.
He'll save you and you'll be on your way to heaven. And that's this work of redemption. Now, the Holy Spirit gives life. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, we find these words. It says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Now, God created man with a body, a soul, and a spirit. But then, in verse 17 down here, it says, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And so we know the story, how that Adam took of the fruit, she was deceived. Well, she was deceived by Satan, and she ate of the fruit, and she gave to her husband Adam, who was not deceived, and he ate of the fruit. And that day they died. You say, but they didn't die. They died spiritually. And every man from that day to this day is dead spiritually until they trust Christ as your Savior.
Right.
So, God had a plan. Adam failed. God had a plan to redeem man before he ever created the world. This wasn't an afterthought with God. Before the foundation of the world was ever laid, God had already made a plan to redeem lost man. Some people say, well, why would God create man knowing that he would make a wrong decision and fall and then have to choose whether he wanted to be saved or not? Well, God could have created us to love him. He could have made us love him. But what good is it if we're a captive and we're forced to love somebody?
Right.
It's no good at all.
Right.
What God wanted was for us to choose to love him.
Right.
For us to choose to love him. So, now, let me read you a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want you to let you know that all hope is not lost, because everything that the first Adam lost in the fall, the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, purchased back on the cross. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 45, it says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit." So, we see that the Holy Spirit is the instrument that the Holy Spirit uses to lead us to salvation is the Word of God. The Word of God. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 13. The Bible tells us there. It says this. It says, "In whom ye..." seems like I ought to read more than that. "But in whom ye also trusted..." We're trusting Christ. Well, let me read verse 12. "That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth," the gospel of your salvation, "in whom I also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." So, the first thing that the Holy Spirit does for us is he convicts us and leads us to the Savior. And when we respond to that light of the Holy Spirit conviction, and we trust Christ as our Savior, when we hear the gospel preached or taught or we read it, however it comes to you, then he saves our soul. He leads us to salvation by the Word of God. Then, after we're redeemed how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, huh? After the Holy Spirit works in our life to convict us, and we trust Christ our Savior, and He works in the redemption, the saving of our soul, then He indwells us. After quickening, He then indwells in us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, we've read these verses before, but You know how to study your Bible, don't you? What was it Brother Rick taught one time? He read a book, only taught him how to study the Bible. First thing you do is you read it. The second thing you do is you read it again.
Right.
The third thing you do is read it again.
Yeah.
And then you read it again.
Yeah.
And then you read it again.
Right.
You read it again, and then you read it again. You say, that sounds like Barney Fife. Hey, listen, that's not Barney talking. That's the Holy Spirit of God trying to teach us the Word of God. Anyway, 1 Corinthians 3:16, the Bible says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" So, if you've been convicted, trusted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God convicted you, and you trusted Christ, He saved you, then not only that, is He indwells you. That's good enough right there. All right? And then we personally have the Holy Spirit of God in us, and He teaches us, and He does all kinds of things. We'll get to in a little bit. But then the Spirit of God seals us. Seals us. Now, you say, listen, you've heard me, or most of you, I think, have heard me tell the story about when I got saved. I was saved in a good Methodist church by a good Methodist preacher, and all that kind of thing. But they failed to tell me that you didn't need re-saved next Sunday or the next Sunday. You know, they kind of thought that you could fall from grace and have to be like you retread a tire or something. But anyway, I make fun now, but then that's all I knew.
Right.
I thought you could lose your salvation because I didn't know that, I didn't know what I know now. But anyway, there was a young whippersnapper preacher, younger than me, just starting out preaching a revival meeting, and he claimed that you were saved forever and for eternity, and if you didn't want to go to heaven, you had no business trusting Christ as your Savior. Once you were saved, you were always saved. You're either in grace or a disgrace. That's what Paul Skaggs used to say. Yeah. Anyway, and I liked the guy. I really did. And I still like him. I guess he's my pastor now. But put up with him a long time, Dave. No, we've been friends a long time. Long time. I think the first time I heard him preach, Cheryl was carrying Marcus. Was just a baby. Just a baby. And and Preacher Marcus helped me a lot in my life, Christian life. And so there you have it. But I began studying the Bible, and I found out that everlasting means everlasting. And I found out eternal means eternal. And, you know, I'm a high school graduate. I learned a little bit of English coming up, and all these kind of things. But then I got to studying a little deeper, and I found some of these verses, like Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. Matter of fact, the whole book of Ephesians, pretty much. It says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past." Seems like it's not what I'm looking for.
111.
Where's it at?
Chapter 1.
Oh, okay, chapter 1. Thank you. Listen, I don't, for some reason or other, I don't know if it's, I don't want to lay all my stupidity on the devil, but I don't think he liked me teaching this. I don't know how many of you were here last week, but I almost couldn't get up here or even stand up. But I say that was my own fault. I'm not going to lay that on Satan. Of course, then Friday we had a car accident and all that kind of foolishness. And I'm not going to lay that on him either. I think it's just life. But you know, God don't measure man on how much it takes to get him started. He measures a man on how much it takes to stop him.
Right.
You mark that down in your little book somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, chapter 1, verse 11. "In whom ye also have obtained inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of the glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed."
Yeah, right.
with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or the down payment of our inheritance, until when? Until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of His glory. I preached a message one time about working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I went to the garden and planted the garden, picked the vegetables and threw out all the bad stuff, put in, and we canned them in a jar and sealed them up tight. Heard that thing pop, you know, and it's sealed.
Right.
Mama didn't open it till supper time.
Right.
We're sealed.
Right.
And the sealer's not going to open it till supper time.
Amen.
You know when that is, don't you?
Amen.
Hallelujah, glory to God. It might be sooner than we think.
Amen.
Yeah, hallelujah. But the Spirit of God seals us. Not only is He the seal, but He living in us is the proof of the seal. Whenever you go to do something bad and He says, don't do that, that's proof that you've trusted Christ as your Savior and that the Spirit is telling you, don't do it. You're saved. I told this story before when I was working at the mines. Anybody in here mechanics? Any mechanics in here? Good. Because mechanics are the most ill-tempered, hateful people in the world. No, I know some of them are not. But as a rule, you go to a mechanic and you tell them something's broken, they'll start on you. What'd you tear up now? You work in a mine, you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, there's one of the mechanics. The work got saved. We've been witnessing to him, and he told me, he said, hey, guess what happened? He got saved. Well, it wasn't a while after that. He was down. He was lower than low. And I said, what's the matter? And he said, I messed up. He said, I don't know if I'm saved or not. He said somebody did something and I lost my temper a little bit and said a couple of bad words and he said, it's awful. He said, I just don't know if I'm saved or not. I said, let me help you out, buddy. I said, before you got saved, and I said, you're saved. You done proved it to me. Before you got saved, when you cussed somebody out, did it bother you? Well, no. I said, hallelujah. That's the Holy Spirit of God in you, telling you. I said, now listen, I'm not condoning what you did, but listen, you're a baby. You're a baby Christian. You'll get stronger, and you'll be able to fight that down the road. But listen, because you feel bad now, that's the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. He moved in. He moved in. Hallelujah. Thank God the Holy Spirit lives in me. Now you say, but He's all the time getting on me. Well, straighten up. I'm talking to all of us.
Yeah.
Not only does He save us and seal us and indwell us, but He wants to fill us. He wants to fill us. Ephesians, you know this feeling. I mean, think about this feeling. You know when the Holy Spirit comes in, He's working in us through the Word of God to sanctify us. Now, you know when you get saved, you're set apart to God's glory. You're sanctified positionally. But sanctification is an ongoing process through our lives. To be made more like Him. Okay? And Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse number 8, says here, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light. The light shine. And when we come to life, the light, He turned the light bulb on. Okay? For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Okay? And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. But let's look at some more scripture here just for a minute. Romans chapter 15, verse 16. Talking about the Holy Spirit in this act of sanctification. In Romans chapter 15, verse 16, the Bible says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. It's Paul, under the inspiration of God, writing, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Titus chapter 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness we have done, but by the washing, regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. Something like that. Let's go read it. I probably messed it all up. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. I left out the best part, Brother Jerry. By the washing, regeneration, and newing of the Holy Ghost. Hey, he's trying to make us new. Make us new. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. The Bible says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience.
Yes.
God don't miss a thing, does He? And sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, peace be multiplied. Now, go back to Ephesians chapter 5. He wants to fill us. But you know what our problem is, don't you? The Holy Spirit of God wants to fill this vessel in which He dwells. He wants to fill it full. But it's too full of everything else to get it for you to fill it up. We're too full of ourselves. We're too full of the world. We're too full of bitterness, gossip, greed. We're too full of too many things to allow the Holy Spirit room to work. Got to give Him a little room. You know, man, you need some room if you're going to work. You can't work in a bunch of clutter. Did you ever try to work in the preacher's garage? Or probably anybody's garage. Did you ever try to work in... Man, I'll tell you what. I won't call their names, but I went on a job one time. They were building a house, and I was going to... they did the framework and the roof. They did everything. I was going to finish the inside, do the drywall, all that kind of stuff. And I went in there, and I'm telling you, you could not move. I said, listen, folks, first thing we have to do is clear out some of this junk. Get rid of this trash. We can't do any work. The reason we can't work for God is because the Holy Spirit works through us for Him.
Amen.
And we got too much trash in the way. I mean, you know, it's hard to learn the Word of God if you're too busy reading whatever.
Yeah. Whatever.
It's hard to hear the Spirit of God when we're listening to whatever.
Yeah. Amen. That's good. You're helping.
Hey, you got to cut off the noise.
Yes.
Now, I know I'm a man. They say my brain's split in two. That's what the teacher told us the other day, and we can't do but one thing at a time, and that's the way I am. If I'm, you can ask Lois, if I'm looking at the TV, I don't hear nothing. That's our problem.
Yeah.
Now listen, ladies, I saw this with my own eyes on the television. It could be true or not now, okay? But, have you ever had somebody walking towards you looking at their phone and you just stop and stand just to see if they're going to run into you or not? Yeah, I've done that. They've all missed me so far, but they come close. But they showed this woman walking down the mall somewhere, and she fell in a fountain. She sued the mall. But that's the way we are. The Holy Spirit wants to work. He wants to fill us. But we're so full of garbage. Our lives are so cluttered. I could name some specifics. But you know, the Holy Spirit's talking to you right now. You know what's messing with you. You know what's taking the place of your prayer time, of your Bible reading time. You know what's taking the place of studying the Word of God. And by the way, that is a command. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the Word of truth. I read that. It's hard to feel. Let me tell you how the Holy Spirit sanctifies us. We read the Word of God. All right. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. It says, "For ye are sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord." So, you saved?
Yes.
He's given you life?
Right.
And He's the light?
Right.
He's the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path?
Yes.
Okay. And now you are a light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. The fruit of the Spirit. Now let's know that He didn't mess up when He put the light there with the Spirit, because the Spirit's the one that shines the light, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Then, continue reading. He starts telling us what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Verse 15. See then you walk circumspectly. Verse 16. Redeeming the time. And he tells you why. Because the days are evil. Are the days evil? We need to redeem the time and look at the light, the Holy Spirit shining on the Word of God. Now listen, He's not shining the light on the Charleston Gazette or Newsweek magazine. And I'm not preaching against reading any of this stuff. I read all kinds of stuff, okay? But I'm telling you, the only way that the Holy Spirit can work in our life to sanctify us and make us more like Christ is we open this book and look at it and read the words and let Him tell us. He's telling us what it says here.
Yes.
It says in verse 18, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." This says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. When's the last time you ever did that?
Good.
Verse 20, he says, giving thanks always for all things. Hey, the light's shining. I'm learning how here what I'm supposed to be doing here. Verse 21, we're supposed to submit yourselves one to another. Verse 22, the wives are supposed to submit yourselves to your own husbands. Let me go now. Verse 25, husbands are supposed to love their wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Then we go on down. We'll turn the page here. In chapter 6, verse 1, hey, this is all together. You know, man divided all this up, okay? The Bible was not originally written with chapters and verses. They made it so it would be easier for me and you to study it. Okay. It says in chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. So there, children are saved and the light shine on there. And it says in verse 4, it says, the fathers, provoke not your children. Verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters in the flesh. And on. It's not just in Ephesians. It's in the whole Word of God. Listen, the Holy Spirit is saved us, sealed us, indwells us. He's trying to sanctify us. But He shines the light on the Word of God. It's kind of like... Let me see if I can give you maybe it's a weird example, but you remember the story back in John where the crippled man was there by the pool of Siloam, and only when the angel of the Lord, I believe the Holy Spirit, come and troubled the water, would it heal anybody? Well, it's only when the Waters are troubled.
Yeah, right.
Hey, he'll trouble the waters.
Yeah.
It's only when the waters are troubled that they'll do you any good. Light. And let me just give you light apart from obedience. Now, when God shines the light on this, and we see the truth, and we know what we're supposed to do, but we just say no. Light from obedience, be careful, because it's just liable to become darkness.
Right. Right. Good.
It's no use to bring light to this word until you have brought the Spirit into your heart. The Bible teaches us that the Word of God is foolishness to an unsaved man. He can't understand it. Light will not make the Bible work. The Holy Spirit can't use the Bible to work in your life unless the Spirit is already moved in your heart. Our problem is we get saved and we want all the gifts without the giver. We're guilty of getting it all turned around. We crave the gifts and not the giver. We cry for the light. We cry for the sun and the moon and the stars and the green grass, forgetting that without the giver himself, there would be none of them. There wouldn't be anything. I'm here to tell you tonight that the Holy Spirit of God is, He is God. And He is our personal God. And I'm just going to mention a few things that will be done, but I want to tell you, He convicts, He saves, He steals, He sanctifies, He indwells, He teaches, He leads, He prays for us when we can't even pray ourselves. He gives us gifts so we can serve Him and bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the whole purpose of the thing, is to glorify God in our bodies and in our spirit, which are God's. He empowers us to do whatever it is God asks us. He is the light that guides us. He is the light. He's the life. Listen. Love Him more. Listen to Him more. There's a verse in James, if I can find it real quick. I guess it's the Holy Spirit telling me. All this, hang on. I probably had it marked in that Scofield Bible preacher. This one. Well, I guess I'm not supposed to read that one. Anyway, I heard a preacher preach on it one time, and title of his message was "Tune In, Tone Down, and Sweeten Up." We need to get tuned in to the right frequency. And we need to tone down our lives just a little bit. And we need to love the Holy Ghost of God.
Yes, amen.
Oh, we'll sing songs about Jesus and praise the Lord. And listen, I'm not saying we ought to dwell on the Holy Ghost and go off over in a ditch somewhere and start talking in tongues and doing flip-flops in the church and rolling in the floor and all that kind of stuff. That's not of God. That's not the Holy Ghost of God. The Holy Ghost of God, you will be under control, and He will teach you about Jesus. He'll teach this word to you. Listen, you say, oh, I wish I knew as much as you do. You can. I believe it's also James that says God's no respecter of persons. So what He'll do for me, He'll do for you.
Amen.
That's what got me on this Holy Spirit thing to start with, when the preacher gave me that book by Watchman Nee, and I thought, you know, God, you did it for him, and you did it for Spurgeon, and you did it for Jack Hiles, and you did it for all these other men of God and missionaries and all these people. I need your Spirit. I need your help. I need the Holy Ghost of God. And I'm not, hey, listen, I haven't exhausted the study of Him. Okay? You can't do it. You can't exhaust God's book. You can't exhaust one subject of God's book. You can't exhaust one verse of God's book. You cannot do it. You say, but I get tired of hearing it. Well, the problem is not the giver. It's the receiver.
Right.
God has a message. How many times have we heard preachers preach messages on the same verse, and everyone was different, and everyone was good, and everyone helped. And, you know, I went places and preached a message, and I thought, I don't even know, why do I preach this to these people? I heard a preacher one time, might have been Preacher Joe. Said he went to a nursing home one time, and he preached on being unfaithful, preached on whatever it's called when you cheat on your wife.
Adultery.
Thank you, preacher. My mind's about half. It's over in the other half. Preached on adultery. I believe it was Joe, wasn't it? Told that story. They had no idea why he was preaching in a nursing home on adultery. But it hit the mark. It hit the mark. And there was some movement there. He was following the Holy Spirit of God. He's the only man I know pray for honey and get barrels. Prayed for a lawnmower and got a brand new one delivered to the church. I said, God, I want some of that. I want some of that.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit's our friend. Don't be afraid of Him.
Yes.
Open the book and ask Him to teach you. And after you open the book and He teaches you, walk circumspectly. Walk like Christ wants us to walk. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we sure do love You. Thank You. Help us to love You more. Help us to love Your Word more. Help us to be more faithful to the house of God. Help us to be more faithful to Your Word. Help us to be more faithful to pray. Help us to be more faithful to witness. Help us just to be better Christians, God. We pray that Your Holy Spirit would be real, real in the lives of each one. Mothers need Him, fathers need Him, children need Him. Everybody needs the Lord. Lord, we thank You and praise You and love You. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.